You had your hat on backwards.
You were intimidated, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was trembling. Funny stuff. So last time I was here, I preached about God's loyalty to us, and this is kind of an extension to that. Prior to the Civil War, there were many factors that divided this country, slavery being number one, and then there was sectionalism, different economies, social structure, customs, political values of the North and South. The North and South also argued over states' rights and territory, and it was the election of President Abraham Lincoln that was the final trigger that sent our country into a civil war. In his speech, June 16, 1858, at the Illinois Republican Convention, President Lincoln said this about the division of our country. He said, "In my opinion, our division will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free." A house divided against itself cannot stand. These were not Abraham Lincoln's words. He borrowed them from Matthew chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. It was Jesus who said, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come." It's not hard to figure out that our country is divided. Political parties, nationality, race, religion, and gender are just some of the things that divide us. If you turn to the news, you see protesting, riots, marches, and then social media is even worse, where people can get on and call names and bash others without having to look them in the eye. It's dividing country, family, and friends. It's happened in my own family. My in-laws are very dedicated to the Democratic Party. And then I have friends who are very dedicated to the Republican Party, and they bash each other back and forth on social media, call each other names. I find it interesting that a couple of my in-laws have actually attacked me and my family. Because I'm a Christian pastor, they assume I'm on the other side. So I get posts like, "You Christians are bigots. You Christians are hypocrites. You Christians are judgmental. You Christians who voted for Trump." The funny thing is in 10 years, we've never talked politics. Nobody has asked me what my views are. Nobody's asked me where I stand. I'm not Democrat or Republican. Nobody's actually sat down at the table and asked me my views. As I was reading the scripture for today and thinking about our own division, it got me thinking. How did we get here? How do we as a people get to a place where we're so divided? And I was thinking about that answer, and it came to me when I was coming up with an illustration that I was going to use that I had to throw out. I'm on the fire department, and there's loyalty there. And the police department has loyalty there. And I was thinking about all the groups, the Masons have loyalty. And I was going to use that as a good thing. And then I realized it's our loyalty that divides us. It's our loyalty that causes division. Normally, when you talk about loyalty, it's a good thing. People are proud to be referred to as loyal. Loyalty is a great trait to have. However, loyalty can cause division. Loyalty can cause blindness. It can cause us to be closed-minded. If you're loyal to a certain political party, you only see what's good in that party. You don't see the bad things. You don't see what's good in the other party. You don't see other views. Loyalty to party, race, gender, values, or country, we see what we want. We're blinded from the other side. My wife and her father got into an argument on Facebook again, and they were each using website posts for their arguments. They were arguing about the same thing, but the website posts were contradicting each other. These are doctors and politicians, and each believed what the post that they were bringing up and didn't believe the others, because they wanted to support what they were loyal to. And it doesn't matter what or who your loyalty lies. When loyal, we only see what we want to see. It stops us from sitting down and working out our problems. It stops us from sitting at the table and looking at each other in the eye and explaining where we come from. And it's not just countries. It's communities. Not too long ago, the Otsego community where I come from, which is made up of four small communities, Haskins, Weston, Grand Rapids, and Tontogony, they decided to come together and have one school district, the Otsego community, and they fought over the colors of all things, the colors that the school would be. Each little community wanted it to be their colors. Each little community didn't want the other community's colors to be involved. They fought over it, and there's still some who are bitter today. Some haven't let it go. And today's scripture says it doesn't stop there. The one place where there shouldn't be division is the church. The church in Corinth was divided. The people are quarreling, they're fighting with each other. It's their loyalty that's causing division. It seems the people in Corinth were attached to the people delivering the message rather than who the message was about. This section of Paul's letter is addressing the problem. Paul's letting them know how foolish they're being. Churches have been dividing ever since. I've read that there are over 55,000 Christian denominations. Over 55,000 Christian denominations. In today's scripture, Paul says in verse 10, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." It would seem by looking at this number that we are not on the same page at all. And United Methodists are not immune to this either. We come from the awakening. We come from division. Now, I had a hard time figuring out the exact number, but I counted at least 12 times through the years that Methodist Church has split. United Brethren was similar. But if you look at any of the denominations today, their history is similar. My point is that we're not all on the same page. We're divided. I grew up in a Lutheran church, switched to Catholic and then Presbyterian. And then when I met my wife, who grew up Lutheran, we switched back to Lutheran, and then I became a Methodist minister. I've attended many different churches, many different denominations, and I noticed that people are loyal to their church. They're loyal to their denomination. What I've learned is most people have no clue what the differences are. They couldn't tell you the difference between Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. And I'll be honest, as I was attending until I started studying it myself, I couldn't tell you what the differences are because pastors teach about the similarities. We teach about Christ. Because there's more similarities than there are differences. They all believe Jesus is Lord. They all pray. They all sing hymns. They all have some form of joys and concerns. Offering, baptism, communion, and a sermon. There are also divisions inside churches themselves. Usually the arguments inside the church are more important to the individual than the larger cause or the bigger grand scheme of things. There have been quarrels over just about everything you can think of. The color of paint that they want to paint the building or the carpet. The big thing is music, traditional or contemporary. I heard a story about a church, and I won't mention the name of it. During an administrative meeting, they were talking about introducing the drums into the worship service, and someone had said that the drums was the devil's instrument. The church historian started to laugh, and they asked what was so funny, and she said, well, I was going through some of the minutes from the past, and when they were introducing the organ to the church, someone had said that was the devil's instrument, and now it's traditional. I read another story recently, the story of an old small country church where the pastor called a special meeting of the congregation to approve the purchase of a new chandelier. And there was much debate, and they were going through the pros and the cons. And then finally a farmer stood up and he said, buying a new chandelier may seem like a good idea to you, but I'm against it for three reasons. One, it's too expensive and we can't afford one. And second, nobody knows how to play one anyway. And third, what we really need in this church is a new light fixture. It's not a bad thing to be loyal. It's certainly not bad to be passionate about your church. That's what I love about our churches. We just can't let our loyalties and our passions close our minds to other ideas. We can't let it blind us from the big picture. No matter what, our focus has to be on Jesus. In John 17, verses 20 through 21, Jesus prays for us all. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be one. His prayer for us is that we would be an example to the world in our oneness. We as a church should be leading the way, showing the world how it's done. We should be holding together our communities, our country, the world. Instead, it seems like the world's breaking us apart. It seems that the world is dividing us. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We are stronger united. We are stronger when we focus and put our loyalties towards the big picture. Stronger when we unite in the Word of God. One of Aesop's fables, an old man who has several sons who are always fighting with each other. He'd often, but to no purpose, tried to teach them to live together in harmony. And then he came up with an idea, and I've used this in a children's sermon before. One day he calls them together and he gathers a bundle of sticks and he ties them together with a cord and he asks each of them to break the bundle. And none of them can do it. So then he cuts the cord and gives them each a single stick. And he said, now try to break it. And the single sticks snap with ease. And he said, see, my sons, the power of unity. Bound together by brotherly love, you may defy almost every mortal danger. But divided, you will fall prey to your enemies. And that's biblical. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In 1917, the Russian Orthodox Church bishops were having a meeting, and they got it into a heated debate where they were fighting. A few doors down the street, another meeting was going on. The Bolsheviks were together plotting to overthrow the Tsar. Revolution, the beginning of what we now know as communism. As the empire is crumbling around them, what was the church arguing about? Candles. Should they be 18 inches or 22 inches long? The world is crumbling around them, and they're arguing about candles. Divide and conquer. A military strategy. If we do not stand together, we will fall. Paul said, agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly united in mind and thought. The problem in Corinth is that they lost focus. Their loyalties were on the wrong things. Their loyalty lied on the preacher that was delivering the message. What we need to be focused on is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Christ crucified is God's power and wisdom. Paul said in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We will not always agree, and that's okay. Some of the things that we disagree on will be petty and some will be big. That's when we focus on the cross. That's when we turn our focus on Jesus. That's where we let His words guide us. I had to add this part in there. It's a Peanuts cartoon that I read. Lucy demands that Linus change the TV channel and threatens him with her fists if he doesn't listen. And Linus says, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" And Lucy said, "These five fingers." She said, "Individually, they're nothing. But when you curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Linus said, "What channel would you like me to turn it to?" Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you get organized like that?" Let us be people of the book. Let us put our focus and our loyalty to Jesus. In my last sermon here, I talked about God and His loyalty to us. Let us return that loyalty to Him. For each decision, no matter how big or small, let us look to Jesus for the answers. Let us be what holds our community together. Let us be what holds our country together. Let us have the faith of a mustard seed that we could move mountains. Let's pray. Father, it's our loyalties and our pride to the smaller things that gets us divided. So we pray that you open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, that we would be united on a bigger cause. We would be united under you. That our loyalty would lie toward you. That you would bring us together, united under our similarities, that we can forget our differences. That you could make us stronger, that we could hold the world together. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.